Do you want to work for a fast-growing M&A consulting and advisory firm? Then Palmtree is the place to be. Palmtree is a firm that's experienced incredible growth in recent years, even in the midst of the global economic slowdown, and hiring just keeps marching on. If you're currently an employee at a top accounting or advisory firm seeking to break into the M&A industry, or you're a student interested in learning about the M&A lifecycle, consider Palmtree. Join the firm's upward trajectory and help shape the future of M&A advisory. If interested, learn more and apply on the firm's careers page, palmtreellc.com, or you'll find the link in this episode's show notes. Welcome to the Strategy Simplified podcast. Today, I'm stoked to dive into the world of consulting coffee chats. What they are, why they matter, and how to do them well. Joining me on the other side of the interview table is Ty Sheets, a second-year MBA at the UVA Darden School of Business. Last summer, Ty interned with Bain & Company in Denver, Colorado, and is returning full-time this fall. Ty has experienced the networking process from both sides of the table, as an applicant and as a Bain representative, and has tons of insights and nuggets for you to take away to apply to your own recruiting process. Enjoy. Hey Ty, welcome back to Strategy Simplified. Really excited for today's conversation on coffee chats. How's your day going?
Good, Jeff. It's good to see you again. Really excited to be on and get to work.
Awesome. All right. Well, hey, let's not waste any time. Let's dive right into this subject that I know you're passionate about. So before we dive into the details on coffee chats, can we just put them into context within the overall recruiting process? How do you think about the process of getting an offer from a consulting firm, having landed one yourself?
Sure. So kind of broadly, I think securing an offer at a top consulting firm involves two main steps. There's a bunch of sub-steps to these, but broadly I'll call step one social and step two smarts. So diving into the first one, the social piece, a lot of people call this networking. This is the step where you're going to prove that you have the social and the people skills to excel in consulting. Consulting is obviously an inherently people-oriented business, so this is a really important part. So I think it's kind of helpful to think about this both in terms of internal and external social skills. Internally within the firm needs to be confident that you can operate on a case team doing pretty hard and stressful work and have the ability to effectively collaborate with other consultants on the team. Externally, the firm needs to be confident that you can represent them well, you can build rapport, build trust with clients externally. And consultants have to navigate both of those things really well. And in the networking process, you make really important impressions with firms that either give them confidence or not in your ability to do that. And for most firms, in my experience, that the social step is something you have to pass before you even get a chance to move into step two, which is the smarts piece. And oftentimes, if you're successful in the social step, an interview invite is the result of that. So someone, you know, the firm wants to actually get you into a consulting case interview. And that's step two, which is smarts. And that's the case interview. Sometimes firms will have preliminary assessments and things outside of that to assess your analytical abilities, but that's really when you're going to put those on display, you know, in that case interview. And there's lots of resources out there, a lot of really good stuff for management consultant as well. But yeah, I don't think we're going to dive into the case stuff today. But again, I can't stress enough, I think a lot of firms think about the social piece as the first, sort of gate in terms of what they're assessing in candidates before they even get to the case interview.
I really like that framework of how you broke down the recruiting process. I think it's helpful to split it up into those two pieces and kind of it in that order, right? Social first and, you know, kind of smarts or like hard or technical skills, however you want to look at it, second. Mm-hmm. Can you share a little bit about networking? What does networking with consulting firms look like?
Sure. So in my experience, firms do provide a lot of opportunities to engage with them. Obviously, this is going to differ according to what particular pipeline you're kind of coming in through. MBA has obviously a very structured process typically, but if you're a PhD candidate or coming in from industry or moving laterally, this could look kind of different depending on what pipeline you're in. But in general, firms typically will do two things. One, they will host recruiting events, things like webinars, information sessions, panels, office hours, that type of thing. And this is where candidates will learn your baseline information. You know, what does an application look like? What are the steps? When are the deadlines? What's the staffing model of the firm? What type of work do they usually do? What's the culture? That type of thing. Kind of broad overview information type stuff. And you can make an impression by asking a really good question in one of these sessions, but you're not really engaging super heavily with the firm. They're mostly giving you information. The second part that firms do to sort of engage with candidates is encourage their people to have coffee chats and individual conversations. This is where the rubber meets the road, in my view. This is where candidates meet one-on-one with a consultant or maybe a manager or even in some cases a partner at a firm to get to know them, ask questions. Coffee chats are really important in making a strong first impression and demonstrating that you have the social skills to succeed as a consultant, which then convince the firm that they should interview you.
That's great. So I think what I'm hearing is that depending on the pipeline people are in, this changes a little bit, right? So if someone's a working professional looking just to break in as an experienced hire, they're not going to have as many recruiting events available, right? There's not going to be those as many natural or like firm facilitated interaction points. So it sounds like the onus is even more so on the candidates to be proactive and to reach out and kind of make some of this stuff happen because the firms and you know, your school aren't going to be as much of a resource if you're not there. So
yeah, so I think that's right.
Context there for folks. Awesome. Well, let's dive deeper into these coffee chats. I'm excited to get into this. So can you first like share a little bit baseline, like what's the purpose? What are the objectives behind these coffee chats?
Yeah, so people have differing opinions on this, but my take is that they really are geared around three main ideas or three main goals. The first being to build an authentic connection. The second being to actually gain new, more involved insight into the company and what it's like to actually work there. And number three, it's to keep the ball rolling and continue making connections. So I'll give a little bit of detail on each of those three things. One was build an authentic connection. My goal in every coffee chat when I was recruiting for consulting firms was to build a relationship and to actually make a connection with the other person in a genuine way. I think this is a huge deal. You need to demonstrate that you're a human, and I can't overstate the importance of that piece and how actually difficult that might be. But I wanted the person I was chatting with to remember me after our conversation, either because my story was compelling or our conversation was so good, or perhaps we related with each other in a way that they wanted to help me progress further in the process. They didn't want to just sort of forget me in those 30 minutes we spent together, but they wanted to continue, you know, the conversation. Not every single coffee chat I had, or maybe even most coffee chats, achieved this goal, but I approached every coffee chat with that goal in mind. Going on to number two, a big goal of a coffee chat is to actually gain new and high leverage insight into what it's like to work at the firm. You'll get the broad, you know, high level details on a firm's website or a recruiting event, etc. But talking one-on-one with a consultant in a coffee chat is, I think, the best way to learn what it's actually like at the firm. I think one of the biggest mistakes people make in coffee chats is missing the opportunity to ask really good questions and learn net new information. When you ask baseline or, you know, fact-based questions that you could easily have found on a company's website, that's a really quick way to get to the bottom of a firm's candidate list, I think. And I'm sure we'll talk later maybe about good coffee chat questions and how to approach that. But I always approach coffee chats as a chance to learn new and high-leverage things about each firm. And the best coffee chats that I had were ones where I made a really quality connection. And because of that, someone was willing to tell me, you know, the real truth, what it's actually like to be a consultant at that firm. And I think that's really helpful, especially if you get to the end of the process and you have multiple offers to choose from. And you'll look back on those really great coffee chats where someone told you the real truth that when you're deciding, you know, which offer you might want to take. Finally, number three, my goal is always to have the person that I'm talking to refer me to somebody else so I can keep the ball rolling. So I can continue to make connections, continue to learn more about the firm, and then build internal promoters within the firm. I wanted people who liked me, who wanted to help me, and who wanted to, you know, when those interview conversations came up, they had my name at the top of their list, and they were pushing me as much as they could. Like I said, not every chat led to this either, but I made sure to ask, especially when the conversation was good, to, you know, who else should I be talking to about this? I think that's a super important part of a coffee chat and a really important goal.
Taya, that's a great foundation for coffee chats. And what I'm hearing, one of the overall themes I'm picking up is that it requires intentionality, it requires proactivity, it requires a plan, it requires probably some kind of uncomfortable actions, at least for a lot of people, especially introverts, but really for anyone. Like, it takes something beyond just, right, submitting an online application, right? There's a couple steps beyond that. So I just wanted to pick up on that.
Yeah, I mean, to that point, I don't think that consulting is an industry that if you're more of an introvert, you can't succeed in. But I think actually the whole process is built, including the coffee chats and networking, as well as the case interview. It's all built to kind of help you also learn whether consulting is the right industry and the right fit for you. So not everybody has to be an extrovert by any means, but you'll know if you can tolerate or even enjoy the networking process. You likely will enjoy the people aspect of actually working in a consulting role as well.
That's awesome. Yeah, consulting is a human business. Without it, firms wouldn't be able to do anything that they do. So, and I love the first point you mentioned about an authentic connection, right? That you can't really remember a robot or someone who just regurgitated the questions they found, you know, on an online blog, right? You gotta be real, gotta be human.
Yeah, for sure.
Before we get into how to actually ask someone for a coffee chat, do you actually need to be drinking coffee, and do you need to be in a coffee shop? Can you just expand? I know what the answer is there, but I think a few people will have that question in the back of my mind. Wait, does this have to be something that's in person?
Yeah, definitely not. I mean, I came in without a lot of context about this whole process, and I had the same question. You know, do I need a coffee in order to ask for a coffee chat, or does it need to be at a Starbucks? Absolutely not. I mean, 96% of my coffee chats, quote unquote, were on Zoom, actually. People were traveling or just in a different location. And I'm really glad that I had a tool like Zoom, which could allow face-to-face contact, even separated geographically. Every now and then you'll have a chance to do an in-person coffee chat with somebody in a city. And I think it's a great idea to share a cup of coffee or a tea or even a breakfast or a lunch with somebody if you can. But the great majority of mine were kind of conversations like we're having right here over Zoom.
Yeah, that's great. I think that's just a little bit of additional color that's helpful, right? The phrase coffee chat is understood by virtually all consultants as networking conversation. Hey, Strategy Simplified. It's Japheth here, your producer, and I really quickly wanted to pop in to tell you about Black Belt. So if you're targeting a consulting role at a firm like McKinsey, Bain, BCG, Deloitte, Oliver Wyman, Accenture, you name it, Black Belt is a structured case prep program that might be exactly what you need to push you over the hump and land that offer. So it is a structured case coaching program where you'll get one-on-one coaching from a former McKinsey, Bain, or BCG consultant. You'll also get a year of free access to our new community for exclusive employer info sessions, training, masterclasses, community support, and much more. Last but not least, you get unlimited digital materials to support your case prep progress. Oh, and by the way, over 80% of Black Belts who complete the program land a consulting role. That's pretty incredible. So we'd love to see you inside of Black Belt. Join at the link in the show notes. All right, let's get back to the episode. All right, well, how do you ask for a coffee chat? How do you make this happen? Can you just share your perspective on that?
Mm-hmm, definitely. So the first part is finding the right person. That might sound kind of like an obvious duh thing, but actually this requires, I think, some reflection. So finding people, targeting them at the firms you're interested in with intentionality is super important. Finding people who share a key aspect of your background. For me, I was a musician in a former life. I also worked in nonprofit and in schools. So that was an obvious thing for me to try to find people who were in the arts before consulting or worked in nonprofits. So whatever that means for you, you know, finding someone who shares that interesting aspect of your background is a good kind of first starting place. Or maybe you encountered them at a recruiting event. I made a really awesome contact at a Bain, like summer Bain event. He was a Darden alum, and he was just on a panel, and I reached out to him after seeing him speak about a particular thing at a recruiting event. or maybe, you know, they're an alum of your school, either undergrad or master's, or, you know, or maybe you have a family or a personal connection with someone that you know of who works at one of these firms. Regardless of what the connection point is, finding someone who has that connection point with you, I think is really important in terms of the likelihood they will respond and get back to you. And then I think once you've found that person, be intentional and explicit about why you're reaching out to them. Hey, I noticed you're working at this firm. I'm really interested. We're both musicians. That's crazy. I'd love to talk about your path to consulting, coming from with a music background. And that was a lot of the emails that I sent were kind of like that in terms of who I found and how I made the request. That brings me to the next stage of the process, which is obviously making the request, sending the email or the message. And I think being clear about why you're reaching out to them is important. Being concise, being polite, being professional. Those are kind of table stakes. And I should also mention, I think, you know, either if we don't have it up already, there will be a blog post on the Management Consultant site with kind of some examples of what it looks like to send an email like this. So you can use that to kind of get started if you're still confused. But I think another important thing about making the request is offer several times of availability. In that first request, hey, I'm free from this time to this time on these particular days. And always, always personalize those emails. I think one surefire way for someone not to get a response or to go straight to delete or the trash pile is to not personalize the email and to copy and paste something to 10 different people. That's absolutely not the way to do this. It's a people business, so personalizing is super important. And then lastly, when they get back to you and say, yeah, this time works, follow up with an invite promptly if you can. You want to book a time on their calendar. You want to send them a Zoom link if that's appropriate. And if you have an idea maybe of even what you want to cover, send them 3 short bullet points for, hey, I want to talk about this, this, and this. That way, once they open up the event on their calendar, they can see it and kind of know what to expect with that chat. But that also that way you get the invite on their calendar and nothing comes up and sort of double books that time and you have to reschedule it. And that's just less than ideal. So that's how I think about the process of asking for and setting up a coffee chat.
I love that. Just a quick note on that last part about personalizing, right? If I get an email that's addressed, hello, sir, or right, just like something like that, I'm not going to keep reading. I'm just delete, right? So really important to personalize, right? And I would say first name only, right? Not both, and don't add something like sir or anything like that to the front. Would you agree?
I'd agree. Yeah, I mean it's you can be collegial and polite, but also kind of conversational. And I think being authentic is what's most important here. If you're a person that does address people like that, and you're going to address them like that authentically during a coffee chat, maybe it makes sense. But kind of however you kind of have, you're the person that knows yourself the best. And I think authenticity here is key.
Love that. Well, we'll make sure to link the article about coffee chats. We just wrote that, released that. And so we'll link that in the show notes in case folks, you find it more helpful to kind of visually be able to see. And we'll have an email template in there and much more good information. All right, Ty. How do you come up with good questions for these coffee chats so that when you actually get on a call, you don't look like an idiot?
Yeah, this can be an anxiety-inducing part of the process, and I've definitely felt my fair share of anxiety. And what do I ask? What do we talk about? I think before you even get to the question part, I think it's important to give some time to do some introductions. Again, this might sound like duh, but putting some intentional thought and reflection into how you want to introduce yourself, how to give a minute-long pitch, 1 or 2 minute-long pitch or introduction, was really helpful to be able to tell your story in a conversational but clear way, and then give them the chance to do the same. So that's how I always started our conversations and coffee chats, unless I knew the person, you know, beforehand. But you know, refining your pitch as a topic, maybe we can talk about another day, but I think that's a really important thing to start with. And instead, I think of offering specific question examples, I want to give some recommendations on, you know, how to think about this. And I think that's more helpful in terms of how people can prepare and get generate their own really good questions. So in my view, good questions come from genuine reflection on what you actually want to learn. So what do you already know about the firm? What are you still unsure about that you haven't been able to learn on their website or on their blog or on a recruiting event that you attended? Also, what's most important to you in an employer that you don't, that's still a question mark for you about that particular firm? Do you like really hands-on management? How do you prefer in terms of communication? What kind of work do you want to do? You know, is this firm working in a particular industry or practice area that interests you? Has this person that you're reaching out to and having a chat with, have they charted an intriguing or interesting path? And do you want to ask questions, you know, about how they did that, how they accomplished that? So genuine reflection on what it is you actually want to learn and what the gaps are, I think is a great place to start in terms of forming a good question list for each coffee chat. Number two, I would say, make sure you take into account the role of the person that you're talking to. Come prepared. I'd say review the person's LinkedIn. Make sure you understand at least at a high level what their role is and how it relates to the broader firm. And what I mean about that is if you're talking to a partner, if you've gotten the great opportunity to talk to someone at that high level, your questions should not be the same as if you're talking to a first-year associate. That's just a different type of conversation. It requires different questions. So, you know, that's just kind of the base level preparation that I think everyone should plan to do. And then finally, make sure you're ready to flex with the conversation. Plenty of times in coffee chats, I threw out most of my planned questions because the conversation was organically moving away from them. And that's okay. Don't be afraid to leave your agenda if you want or need to, and just be ready to roll with the conversation if it goes unanticipated directions, because that can actually be some of the best coffee chats you'll have.
That's great, Ty. And just to go a layer deeper, one of the frameworks we recommend at Management Consulted is PSP. That's a positive, specific, and personal. So you want your questions to be positive, specific, and personal. And we have other episodes on networking that cover that, but just to add a little bit of a extra nuance to your framework there, which I think is really helpful for thinking about.
I like that.
Great questions. Like that. Right. You don't want to ask, you know, when is AI going to take over, you know, your job, right?
I would agree.
No one wants to work with a person who asks questions like that. Awesome. All right. All right, well, so Ty, let's say you've gotten on the phone with someone, you've had a good conversation, you've been flexible with the questions, and you've had a good connection. What happens at the end of the call, right? Do you say, all right, goodbye, talk to you later, or what's your kind of recommended way to close a call?
Sure. So I think there's some things you should do within, say, an hour. There's some things you should do within 24 hours. And then, in my view, you just kind of rinse and repeat after that. So within an hour, I think a lot of people miss this opportunity. When the information is fresh in your mind, something you learned or something that you connected really especially well with that person, write it down. Put it down in a tracker, in a journal, whatever makes sense. But get that out of your brain on a paper or into a computer. Because you'll want to, when you're writing a thank you note or when you're writing a cover letter later in your application, you'll want to be able to refer back to those facts, and you don't want to rely on your brain to just remember those things, or I didn't for sure. So take down some high-level notes within an hour of that conversation so you don't have to store that kind of up in your brain, especially if you have a bunch of other chats scheduled. And then next, within the day, within 24 hours, send a thank you note or a thank you email. This is really important. I think be genuine, be gracious. And if they offer to refer you to someone else, you can mention that. Hey, thanks for offering to connect me with X person. I'm really excited for that conversation. But, you know, authenticity, gratitude, that's kind of your main things there. And then after that, you're starting the process again, finding new people to reach out to in the firms you're interested in and all the things we've talked about already. You're just kind of rinsing and repeating.
I really like that, especially the part about taking notes. It's so helpful to be able to reference specific things you really appreciate about a firm in your cover letter. Making those notes right after a call helps you remember that and not get it mixed up with some other person or some other firm.
Definitely.
So, I love that. Awesome. Okay, great. Well, this has been really helpful. Are there any kind of common pitfalls or mistakes you see people make in coffee chats?
Yes, absolutely. There's many I've made myself. So this is a hard-earned, list of things that I want to mention to you. The first and most common is being unprepared. So I've had people approach a coffee chat with me, for example, and they're lacking a vision for what they want to get out of the time. They don't really have a reason for why they wanted to talk to me specifically. And it's felt kind of like they had a wing it attitude. We'll just figure it out, you know, when we get there. This makes you seem disorganized, and it actually can be perceived as disrespectful to people's time. So coming in unprepared, not really having a vision for what you want to get out of that chat or who the person is that's across the table from you or across the screen, that's a huge mistake in my view. Number two, trying to play a numbers game. So a lot of people approach this trying to hit a critical mass threshold for a certain firm. If I hit, you know, if I had five people with this firm, I'm good. Or if I hit, you know, three with this firm, I'm good. Firms definitely lie on a spectrum between low touch, you know, say a McKinsey, and then high touch, say a Bain. But that doesn't mean that you should judge where you are purely on the number of people that you need to talk to. There are people who have gotten interviews at these firms after talking to one person. And there are others who haven't even gotten an interview invite after talking to 15 or more people. And thinking about this about a numbers game is, I think, the wrong approach. I think it's about quality of your interactions and of your connections. And that's what I would encourage people to think about versus hitting a number threshold. Next, I think tailoring what you think the firm, like tailoring what you're saying to what you think the firm wants to hear. Or what you think the other person wants to hear. I think this is a surefire way to fail the social step with these firms. Recruiters, current consultants, they can sniff that out in 2 seconds. And it's not a good look. If you're not authentic, if you're just saying the thing that you think that the firm wants to hear you say, you're not going to build a quality connection. You're going to miss the opportunity. And then lastly, I think people struggle when they fail to drive their own process. So if you are asking at the end of a coffee chat, who else do I need to talk to, but you don't give them something upon which to build that referral, you know, I think that's a missed opportunity. You're not doing yourself any favors. Think about it from their perspective. If you tell them, hey, I'm interested in talking to somebody, who do you think I should talk to? Well, their mind goes to zero people or 20 people. You know, it's they have to do the mental actual work to figure out who makes the most sense. Whereas if you can say, I'm interested in the financial transformation practice, can I talk to somebody working in that area? Or maybe for me, I have a child and a family. I'd like to talk to other working parents at the firm. Or maybe I'm looking to learn from someone who shares this key part of my background. Do you know of anybody else at the firm? So that's helping them make that next connection for you. And you're doing the mental work to help them do that. You're making it as easy on them as possible. And you're driving your own process, so you're not asking too much of them. So those are the most common things I think I've noticed.
Really helpful stuff, Ty. And I especially liked that last part about driving your own process, right? And that's not even only limited to right recruiting or networking, but it's just a good piece of career advice, right? Like the easier you can make life for right your leaders, your managers, or people that you're, you know, have influence on your career, right? The more they're gonna like you and want to work with you and want to help you succeed and help you grow and right make more money and all that stuff. So I really, really like that. I think that's a really important key here.
Yeah, couldn't agree more.
Okay, well, we are getting close to wrapping this up. Any other kind of final notes or things that, from your experience, you think candidates need to be thinking about in regards to coffee chats?
Sure. So some of this we've already kind of touched on, but I think to sum it all up, my three biggest tips are: one, be organized; two, be yourself; and three, be self-reflective. On the be organized, this is keeping your notes together. It's having a structure for how you want to record them. I kept a tracker with names of people that I talked to, their contact information, when I reached out to them, insights from the chats that we had. And that helped me when I wanted to keep that connection warm, or I knew, you know, hey, I haven't talked to this person in 2 months and applications are coming due. I need to reach out to them again. If you're organized and you're taking the mental lift of keeping that stuff in your brain out, then you're actually able to, I think, engage in a more meaningful way, in a less stressed and frantic way, for sure. Two, be yourself. Authenticity is huge, and I'm glad that we've said it as much as we have in this, because I think that's the most important message I want to give about the recruiting process is being genuine. And if you approach the networking process with authenticity, I think you'll often find that that's met with authenticity from the other person. And then lastly, be self-reflective. As you progress through this process, take stock of how things are going, ask for feedback, reflect on what you could do to improve. And I think also staying self-reflective also means staying mindful of what's in your locus of control. So knowing what you can and can't have control over so that you don't sort of catastrophize. If you got two bad chats in a row, that could be because those people are just having really stressful days. It might not be because you have a bad approach. So keeping in mind of sort of what else could be going on is also a piece of that self-reflective step, I think.
That's really helpful, Ty. I really appreciate your thoughts here, your structured approach to thinking about coffee chats, and you've provided a lot of golden nuggets and insights that I think people are going to be able to use to apply to their own journeys to become more effective networkers, and to I think it's going to help people land jobs.
That's the goal. I hope so.
that's the goal. That's why we at Management Consultant exist. So, Ty, thank you for the insights, for the time today, folks. Link in the show notes to check out the blog on coffee chats that'll have kind of what we had covered today, but in a little bit more detail. You've got an email template there that you could follow for your networking cold outreach emails, and a lot more good stuff. And feel free to reach out to the team at Management Consulted. You can just send us an email, team@managementconsulted.com. Check out the website, et cetera. We've got tons of networking, resume, and case interview resources, and we'd love to work with you to help maximize your chances for breaking into consulting. Thanks again, Ty.
Thank you.
Enjoyed this convo about coffee chats. We really appreciate Ty taking the time to share his experience, his learnings, and we hope it helps you in your journey. If you've got networking questions, we'd love to help. Reach out team@managementconsulting.com, and we'll see you on another episode of Strategy Simplified soon.